Our scripture is from the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua. These are two Old Testament scriptures. Going to Deuteronomy 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. This is from Moses. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commandments and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. That's how you impress them on your children. And then Joshua, toward the end of his life, just in the last days, Joshua 24, the end of the book. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua kept that. It would have been good if the Israelites would have kept it more. Well, I don't know who you, I don't know if you are, but we at the Combs family household are still observing and celebrating Christian Home Month. Do we remember that? Yeah. A number of years ago, most of the Baptist churches in which I served as a minister, we originally observed the first full week of May as Christian Home Week. It was the week that ended with Mother's Day. Then the Baptist churches moved to a Christian Home Month that was actually more than a month, and what we do here is more than a month. It started on Mother's Day and ended with Father's Day. And we worked a Children's Sunday into the middle of it. Usually, for us, that is the first Sunday of June. As I look at other church bulletins, Baptist church bulletins, I get several of them. I'm no longer finding that special emphasis during May and June. And I really regret that. But I'm stubborn. I'm old-fashioned. Of course, you know that. And I keep hanging on to that idea that there needs to be a heightened emphasis and a heightened awareness and appreciation for the many facets of a Christian home and family. So we're into it here at Boskydale, doggedly holding on to the idea that family emphasis should be a foundational concept for Christians. How are things with you and your family? Don't you agree with me that there's something special about the family? So special that within our families, we find our dearest earthly relationships. You see, as far as institutions are concerned, the family, any construct of the family, with or without children, starting with a couple, that is more than one person living in a self-contained home, that kind of family relationship is the oldest institution on earth. Started with a couple who were into gardening. Although I feel compelled to say, because I know some now and I've known some over the years, pretty much most of the time a single person living alone will consider their home as a kind of family place. And that's good. A family as an institution came before the institution of a grouping that represented some kind of authority as a governing authority. Or the formation of a single entity of people gathered in the name of a religion, such as a church. Government and church, those two old institutions, they're long, long time, but not as old as the institution of the family. Of course, we here at Bosquedale recognize and call ourselves as this institution a church family. Now, I said just a moment ago that any home is realistically a family, generally starting with a couple, without or with children. And that's true. But don't we generally think of family as a home that includes children? Because of that first sort of impression, we have included Children's Sunday as an integral part of a general family emphasis during Christian Home Month. And so that's today, Children's Sunday. And though our current church family finds us almost completely without children, starting with babies all the way through teens, we still need to keep a focus on children. Maybe needing a motivation and a spotlight on the need and desire for children in our church family more or as much as ever. So whether we have them or we desire to have them, children in our church family is a vital concern. And so, yes, let's continue to have a Children's Sunday. You see, as much as family life is the foundation of a society, family life in a church family that includes all ages is foundational to a church. Well, that's my opinion. As they say, I'm sticking to it. But getting back to the holistic concept of a family, when I speak of family, I believe I touch perhaps the most sensitive spot in your hearts and mine as I speak of family. Now, Joshua's statement in today's scripture text is, as we recognize the foundational nature of families as a starting point of society, Joshua's statement is one of the most important statements in all of the Old Testament. Because if everything starts with family, including with how children determine the life that they will live based on how they are brought up in their family, what in our belief set? What is the overarching guideline or principle of a Christian family? What is our choice? What do we think of as first principle? Well, we go to verse 15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will, first principle, serve the Lord. Isn't this a foundational teaching for the development of moral and ethical children who are to become adults who will shape the world around them? You know, maybe no... I don't think maybe is the right word. I think probably that's a major key to virtually all the problems of our society today. The deterioration of the concept of a moral, ethical, spiritual family life. Joshua spoke those key words, that key concept, to the Israelites that he had the calling of God to lead. They are the words of a man committed to the whole task of leadership. More personally, they are the words of a determined father whose spiritual dedication affected not only himself, but also his family, declaring a principle that guided his life. Joshua recognized the stewardship. By stewardship, I mean the overseeing and management of a leader to his family, or perhaps in some cases to her family. That necessity, and the necessity of correct principles, beliefs, values. Parents, all parents inherently have a stewardship, a sincere management of principles and guidance to the family. Christian parents, in the sight of God, even more so. And along those lines, for the sake of the heart of this message, this guideline from God's Word, I'm addressing my remarks this morning primarily to the principles of the Christian home and family. Parents are responsible for the attitudes and the directions of the family. They're also responsible, of course, to the support of its needs. And these are not optional. Rather, these are urgent necessities when we think of the indescribable pressures of a politically correct society that harps on neutrality and an absence of God, maybe godlessness. Pressures that are being applied even to our homes today. Interestingly enough, I was prepared that, and Laura came with a poster today that you can't read it particularly, but I want to show it to you. We ought to put that out. It says, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. That's what we face. See? I think I speak for all of us today. We will live by the Scripture, or we're going to die trying. No matter what the directives of our public governance may turn out to be. So basically, it is important to emphasize that there are a couple of scripture passages that teach this responsibility, this stewardship Christian parents have. The first passage is our text passage from Deuteronomy 6. We look at verses 6 and 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children, your family. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up, all the time. God's ways are to be taught to children at home. They're to be the theme of conversation, not just when we're preparing to leave for church on Sunday mornings, but in all of our activities. Through the years, I tell you, I've been in many churches. I've seen many church families. I've observed many children of those families. And what many of you have seen in sort of a microcosm, because you've been in this one church all of your life, you've seen some families, but not hundreds of them. I, on the other hand, have observed in macrocosm dozens, if not hundreds, of church children and their families. And from what I've seen, you can tell the homes where God and His ways and His Word are an integral part of family conversation and of teaching, outside of and in addition to the standard Sunday conversations, more than just grace at the table. The children of those families are different. They are grounded. They are moral. They continue in their church life through their teen years. And generally, adults of the church like to be with them, and they with the adults of the church. Now, to be clear and honest, I'm speaking in general, but these generalities hold pretty true. By teaching in pretty much all activities in the Christian home, we pass God's truth to the hearts of future generations. And that's the assurance of verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And the attitude in which the teaching in the Christian home is to be done is emphasized in verse 5, in total love for the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So that's the first passage that teaches us. The second passage is Ephesians 6, beginning with the first few verses. Well, let's start with verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, when Paul wrote his letters to the churches and wrote to individuals such as Timothy and Titus and so forth, and as he wrote here, for instance, to the Ephesian church, he was writing in the context of a culture of his day, the Jewish culture for him and all the other cultures around him in the Middle East. This was a male-dominant society, much as we see as we look at the Arab countries today. So just naturally, he singles out the father as having the primary role in what he identifies as the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, in our current Western equal opportunity culture, we would tend to have more of a shared role there as parents. As a matter of fact, several of the more modern and admittedly Western culture translations of today, the word parents is substituted for fathers. And I think that's appropriate for our age. It may be that this role has been even more adopted by mothers of our homes, but emphasis should be laid on the shoulders of both parents. Authority, Paul writes, is not to be exercised in unkindness and in harshness. Rather, it's to be done positively. Paul says, don't train and instruct in such a way as to exasperate the young'uns. And the rest of the verse 4. Now, try hard to remember these words because they're not right there in front of you. Just remember them for a minute or so. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up speaks of developing character. Training, or the word of the old King James Version, nurture, refers to the passing on of general trainings for a controlled life. And instruction, or again the old King James word admonition, describes correction and warning against the wrong ways. And the phrase of the Lord means that it is all to be done in a thoroughly Christian manner. Bring them up in the training and admonition, the training and instruction of the Lord. Anything less than this is pretty much a reprimand to us as being careless parents. The kind of parents who are failing to give the bread of life to our children. As for me and my house, you see, we can see Joshua's determination to fulfill God's word in his family. Well, children too have a stewardship or a management of principles to the family. And this is to be taught to them and in the best ways possible, emphasized to them by responsible parents. Some parents find this very difficult to do. Some parents are swayed by modern, I put that name in that word in quote marks, by modern child-rearing techniques and concepts such as, you know, don't spank your child, don't speak loudly to your child, you might hurt their feelings. The Benjamin Spock philosophy gone amok, far more than he intended. But more correctly, the strong Christian author James Dobson dared to write a real good book, Dare to Discipline. So as I say, and as Paul emphasized in Ephesians 6, Children, too, have a stewardship role in the family, especially emphasized in the Judeo-Christian family. Children's role as stewards are best described in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, where two words are emphasized. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now that first word, obey. Obey is from two Greek words that mean to hear submissively. It means that there's to be a readiness to listen, to carry out the will of the parents. This is Christian duty. It's being done in the Lord. For a child to do this requires of the child a cheerful, prompt, habitual response. That's the child's stewardship. But it's also a moral duty. It says, for this is right. It is the only right thing to do, as the nature of the relationship between parents and children suggests. The second word is honor. And this is the temperament to be nurtured in a child that makes obedience possible. Fulfilling this results in divine blessings. Rejecting it results in rebellion against God, as well as rebellion against your parents. Children can either break the hearts of their parents or bless them. And the family has a stewardship to the fate or the province of the future for that family. In 2 Kings 20, verse 1, Hezekiah the king lay on his deathbed. And Isaiah the prophet went to him and he said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover. He was saying to him, prepare for your fate, and your fate will be the providence or the future of your family. See, we have not only a stewardship of life, but also for death. Not only for time now, but also for eternity. The management of eternal principles. We parents have a heavy responsibility to lead our families to a destiny that meets the requirements of the tests of eternity. There's another illustration of this. It's seen in Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 34. This is the experience of the Philippian jailer finding Christ. 16:34 says, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Not only was the jailer converted to Christ, but all of his house was also saved. What a testimony to the saving grace of God. That whole household could come to him. Now Joshua had arrived at that point in his life and his leadership of his whole household. And he proclaimed it to the whole nation of Israel. Again, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He led the way with a dedication of himself. As for me. To all Christian households, God is calling to your heart and to your home for your decision to make that commitment that will allow him to mold your family into what he wants it to be. Children are our homes of the future. Thus, I think it is certainly appropriate to have this emphasis on Children's Sunday. And may we continue to do so, and may God bless us as we do. Amen.